第8項
In 1995, two important events occurred in our family. That summer, construction was completed on our new home. It was the home that my wife and I had dreamed of since our marriage 15 years earlier. Years of hard work and financial restraint had paid off, and we thought of our home not only as an oasis of calm for our family in the middle of a busy city, but also as an investment.And a just reward for our years of sacrifice. The second event happened a few months later. Our 5-year-old twins, a girl and a boy, started complaining of itching. Red spots appeared on their bodies. My wife, a normally tireless woman who ran her own business with great enthusiasm, started complaining of fatigue and severe headaches. I started to notice that I was experiencing difficulty with breathing, but only at home.Never at the office or while out and about. We took our children to specialists after our family doctor was unable to make a diagnosis. While prescribed creams relieved some of the itching, the spots continued to appear. Other children at their nursery school began to avoid our son and daughter, making fun of their spots and refusing to play with them. They were miserable. My wife asked a pharmacist to recommend something for her headaches and fatigue.She followed his advice, but the symptoms persisted. Things got so bad that her work began to be affected, and she began to feel depressed. Realizing that all of these problems had begun after moving into our new home, and had worsened after the weather cooled and we had stopped keeping the windows open, I began to wonder about the quality of air in our home. I did a bit of research and found that we were not alone.Others were experiencing these types of problems after moving into new houses. In fact, a man named Hiroyuki Uehara, who had had an experience similar to ours, had even coined a term for this phenomenon, sick house syndrome. But what was it in the house that was causing our illnesses? Perhaps it was something that could easily be replaced, such as bedding, curtains, or wallpaper. But what would we do if it happened to be something less replaceable?The flooring, wallboards, or even the very wood that formed the frame of the house. Our worst fears were realized when we learned that the wood that had been used in the house's frame had been treated with a toxic chemical that kills termites. Several other poisons were present as well. We were shocked to learn that at the time our house was built, use of such chemicals was not prohibited. Even now, of the 13 substances known to cause sick house syndrome,Only one has been banned. Since the use of these toxic chemicals was legal when our house was built, there is little we can do. Some victims have tried negotiating with construction companies for compensation, but often without success. In our case, we are at a loss as to what to do. Our health problems became such an issue that we now have to spend most of our time at my wife's parents' apartment in a faraway suburb.However, the four of us cannot continue to impose upon them in their two-room apartment for long. But with a 30-year loan for a now worthless house hanging over our heads, we can't afford to replace the home or even rent an apartment. No one wants to buy the house, and even if we tear it down and sell the lot for a fraction of the amount we owe, disposal of the materials will be a problem since they are toxic. They can pollute the soil and groundwater.I can't see this nightmare ending for my family anytime soon. However, I have to be grateful for the recognition this problem is beginning to receive. The government and the public are now aware of the problem, thanks to the work of organizations like the Sick House Syndrome Association. Someday soon, I hope that families moving into their dream homes will be able to live happily and healthily ever after.